What a beautiful way to end worship. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we have you, that we're not lost. Like we sang, Lord, that we belong to you. There's a belonging, Lord. Last week we heard about how in your kindness you pursue us, Lord. And there's a belonging to you. Thank you that we can be those that you call, have called. And you're still calling us, Lord. Amen. I want to speak about something tonight that will very likely become two parts, which means you'll have to come back. But I want to start with a question. Can we hear God's voice? Because we talk about it quite a lot. But I want to open that up a little bit and talk about that. The chairperson of the CRL, the Cultural, Religious, and Linguistic Rights Commission, the person who should be fighting for us, she's quoted as saying this a while ago, "People who say they have heard from God need psychiatric care." And that commission is currently forcing churches, or they want to, they're proposing to force churches to comply to state-controlled religion. So you must believe and preach what they tell you to, under the understanding that if you think you hear from God, you're crazy. That's stated. But we have the Word, literally God's Word. John 10, verse 27, and this is my key scripture for this introduction of the title of Hearing His Voice. And this is Jesus speaking. "My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me." We can stand on that. And in that following, other translations say, "They hear my voice and they obey." So, yes, absolutely, we can hear God's voice. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? But just because we can doesn't mean that we do. Sometimes we celebrate that we can, but then we don't actually take care to hear Him. Can you remember the first time God ever spoke to you? It will be a specific event or a significant time when He spoke to you. For me, there's a few. I remember when I met Jeanette, we had one big fight, like terrible. And she was like walking away. And I'm typical Afrikaans, prideful, principled. Yeah, you know, she must come to me. And I heard God tell me, just go and hug her, you know. And I knew that was God, just like that. And I was like, I don't want to. I'm too proud, you know. And I was like, okay, this is awkward. And it worked. She's still here. 21 years later, yeah? Yeah, look at you now. I also, another time was when I felt the Lord tell me to quit my job and change jobs. And I was like, nah, uh-uh. No, you gave me this job, Lord. Some of you know the journey, but I did not like that decision. I did not want to do it. But I knew it was the Lord. So I had to make that decision in about 3 minutes. But it was the Lord. Guys, it's a treasure to hear God, to hear His voice. The God of the universe, that He would speak to us and communicate to us. And I don't want to talk tonight. I don't want to talk about how He speaks to us. I'll get there next time. But He speaks to us in many ways. In the book of 1 Samuel, I think you all know that that part of history where Samuel hears God's voice for the first time, and three times, Samuel, Samuel, and he goes to Eli. Beautiful piece to read. It's from 1 Samuel 2 verse 21 onwards. You can go read it in your quiet time. It's a beautiful piece. And eventually in 1 Samuel 3, because he now knows that Eli told him, hey, just say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And God speaks to him and gives him this big, big prophecy. But the Bible also says that he knew God and he was growing in God and he was in the presence of the Lord. That was the conditions under which the Lord decided to speak to him. But because before that, God wasn't speaking. Hearing and knowing his voice is part of knowing God. If you don't know him, it's unlikely that he will speak to you. There are some instances where he does in his mercy. But the scripture in John, my sheep hear my voice. It doesn't say, my elders hear my voice, or my leaders hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. All of us can hear his voice. You do not have to go, okay, well, I'm not an elder, so therefore God's not going to speak to me about something. He can speak to you. We'll get to that later. But imagine a covenant relationship, an intimate relationship, like with a spouse, but you never communicate. Would that even be a relationship? So the Lord, he wants to communicate with us. He wants to speak to us more and more because he wants a healthy relationship with us. In this, I'm going to refer to scripture quite a lot. A lot of scriptures. It would be beautiful if we could hear the rustling of pages as we go through them. It's always good to read the actual paper. But I would love the word to bring us this message. I'm not going to speak only from one piece, one passage, but I'm going to bounce around to prove these points, if that's okay. So I'm going to let scripture do the talking. And firstly, I want to speak about how not to hear the Lord. And this might take the whole preach tonight. Because the deeper I dug into this, the more I was like, oh yes, and that, and oh my goodness, and that. So I want to speak to that a little bit. Firstly, the one barrier is disobedience, lack of obedience. In Samuel, it said, in 1 Samuel, it says, the word of the Lord was rare. It was as a consequence of Eli tolerating sin. Eli was the high priest. He was tolerating sin with his sons. The word of the Lord was rare. So if right now we're not hearing God's word, he's not speaking to us or speaking to you, we can't just go, oh, well, that's just the way I am. God doesn't speak to me that much. He maybe speaks to Andrew Selly and, you know, prophet or someone, but you know, I'll get it secondhand. I'll get it from them, you know, and that can work like that. But what if that is a consequence of tolerating sin or disobedience, and you're trying to just go on with your life, and just thinking that's just the way my Christianity is being walked out. I'm not one that really hears God. Other guys do that. That's not really me. People say that, but it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be. It's not just the way you are. It's not just the way you do church. It's a consequence of compromise. Our sin, whether it's passive or active, something we should do and don't, or something we don't do and should, it blocks our ears. Matthew 13, verse 15 says, their hearts have hardened, their ears cannot hear. It says more than that, but that's what it says. The hearts of these people are hardened. The ears cannot hear. They have closed their eyes. Because of sin. Another question to you. What will you do with God's answer if he actually answers you? If you say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Like Samuel. And he speaks. What will you do with it? Because God knows your heart. Are you ready to do what he speaks? What he asks of you? Because if you not in any way, if it's just like, let's see if this works, and he knows whether you're going to obey or not, then why should he even speak to you? So I'm going to be throwing out questions like these. Some of them might be controversial, but you determine by the Spirit what fits or what sticks. Obeying his voice is more important than hearing his voice. Why? And if you don't obey what he's already told you, why should he tell you more? Because he's told us a lot. Also, another point, God doesn't always answer. Do you think that's true? I thought I was going to get a divided crowd here. How many think God always answers prayer? Okay. Always. Every time. Okay, I'm not going to embarrass you any further. Okay. Do you know that your prayers can even anger God? They can actually anger God. I'm going to dive into this. Let's have a look. People say God always hears your prayers and answers your prayer. Keep praying. Bible says pray. Matthew 7 says ask and it will be given to you, right? Many people can think, what about that scripture? Mark 11:24, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours. Yeah. But 1 John 5:14 says, your prayers must be according to his will. There's space for deception there. God says, if you hold sin in your heart, your prayers will not be answered. They will not be answered. Not even the answer will be no. They will not be answered. Isaiah 59 verse 2. I see some frowns. It's okay. We're still around. No lightning bolts yet. So I'm going to go through the Bible here, okay? Isaiah 59 verse 2. Your iniquities have separated you from your God so that he will not hear. Okay, I'm going to bounce through a few of these. James 4 verse 3, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives to spend what you get on selfish desires. God knows your heart. Okay, I'm going to keep going a little bit. Psalm 66, 18, if we cherish sin, the Lord will not hear. If you're okay with keeping on sinning, the Lord will not hear. Not even, he'll say no. It says, will not hear. John 9:31, God doesn't listen to sinners, but to anyone who worships him and does his will. Okay? We're going to go deeper. Proverbs 28 verse 9, a person who ignores God's law or instruction, their prayers are detestable to God. A person who ignores his laws or his instruction. Proverbs 15:29. He hears the prayers of the righteous, not the wicked. He does not hear the prayers of the wicked. Isaiah 1:15. When you spread your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. That is written to Israel because of what they'd done because of their sin. That's the context. But can you see that it's not just cut and dry that God will always hear you and answer your prayers? Okay, last one. Psalm 80, verse 4 to 5. Lord, how long will you be angry against their prayers? Angry and reject your prayers. My translation. It says, angry against your prayers, like to reject them. You're not receiving their prayers. You have fed us with sorrow and made us drink tears by the bucketful. So God gives us tears. We pray to him, Lord, bless us. You know, keep me healthy. Give me a new job, whatever it is. And he's angry against the prayers and in turn gives much tears, sorrows. Can you see how somebody who does this wrong can go, ah, there's no way God even loves me or is even real? How do we pray that results in God bringing us many tears? Question, do you think it pleases God when we beg him for things for ourselves? Prosperity, physical benefits, maybe even healing, health. Do we treat him as a good luck charm? Is that the majority of our prayers to him? We don't have to beg him for what he's already promised us. His word is full of promises to us. We don't have to beg him for those. He's promised those. We can stand on those promises. That's a matter of faith. But while we still live in sin, in disobedience, and live our way and not his way, guys, he's a holy God. And he gave clear ways that we should live. But then we choose ourselves, we choose our own path, we choose our own lives. We try and fit God into our lives and not surrender our whole lives into God. And in his mercy, he can even come and, you know, his word says he disciplines those he loves. He disciplines those he loves. Maybe via circumstances, you know, your environment. Things go wrong because he's disciplining us in his mercy. What do? Oh, Lord, please relieve us from this. Oh, Lord, please fix this problem that he brings. The discipline he brings, we're now praying, Lord, relieve us from this. Fix this problem. Let me find a new job. Let me, you know, help me fix my car or whatever happens. We ask for relief from circumstances that he's given us. We literally play praying against his will. That's how we make him angry, by praying. So we're asking God to stop helping us, basically. We're asking God to not be part of his family because he says he disciplines those he loves. We're basically asking God to not love us. And in his wisdom knows that he can't do that. He still doesn't like the prayer. That we are asking that. This is coming over a lot heavier than I planned it when I imagined it in my head. The discipline and circumstances are there for us to wake up. To rather say, Lord, let me learn what I need to learn in this because I don't like it. Let me learn your will. Let me learn your ways in this. He brings discipline to us in love. We pray, Lord, your will be done, Lord. How often do we say that? Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then we don't like it when things go bad. Surely this can't be your will for us, Lord. We say, your will be done, Lord, and then ask for more money. And we say, no, we, Josh Jen, we died to live. We give up our lives. We lay them down. And then we pray for ourselves. We also live by what seems good to us sometimes. We respond to our circumstances, which is a natural thing to do. In Proverbs 14 and 16, it says, there is a way that appears right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. So we live the way we think is right, but it's not God's way. We can even be pragmatic. Do we live by what is happening to us, our circumstances, and we go this way and that way because this is happening to me, or I'm losing my job, or whatever it is? And sometimes life goes okay in that place. And we think everything is okay between us and God, even though we don't hear his voice much. It's like, no, I'm okay. I'm not getting fired. I've got a car. I can come to church. I can live my life. Do you stop trying to hear him when everything is going really well? And only when things are really bad go, oh my goodness, we have to pray. Oh my goodness, something is wrong. We have to pray now, guys. But if everything is hunky-dory, everything is going smooth, hey, guys, I got a new job, I got a promotion, I'm healthy, my family is happy, everything is, no, we're going on. You need to pray then too. Perhaps more. Because if we do that, that's like living in a family with a husband, wife, kids, and they do their lives. Everything's going okay, but they never talk. They never talk to the dad. The dad is there. Only when he blocks their way and gets their attention and go, hey, I'm looking at you. Then we pray. Then we start talking. But when everything is going fine, the household is running, dad gets ignored. If the Lord's word is rare to you, something is wrong. Something somewhere. Matthew 4:4. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. But by his voice. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus told Satan that. We need to get near God. We need to hear him. Samuel was near God, and he spoke to him. It's almost like Wi-Fi. You have to be in the range, you know? It's like, where's the Wi-Fi? Okay, I'm in. And then as soon as you walk away from it, you might not even know where the router is. Like, wait, this thing is, it's not, oh, I lost my connection. Oh, yes. I know you guys do that. Huh? Is it just my family? We need to connect, create a connection, and then stay in range. Just like Wi-Fi. Just like Wi-Fi, guys. The more you obey him, the more you will hear him. If you never obey, why would he speak to you? Maybe eventually to rebuke you, or there's a case where a donkey spoke. If you can't remember the last time God spoke to you, did you do the last thing he told you to do? Because if you didn't, or if you're neglecting that thing, why would he speak to you again? Because you're not doing it. I'm simplifying this, I know. The problem is we can easily fall into a religious pattern, just day in, day out, Sunday, Wednesday, thinking that we're okay. And then it becomes routine. And then it becomes boring. Then it becomes religion to us. Then we become complacent. We get familiar. Then we get lukewarm. Then we get discontent. And then we realize we're actually not growing in God. And then we go, maybe the Lord is moving us on. I don't feel the life here so much, or I'm not really being taken anywhere. But you've let all those things happen. And you go, yeah, maybe. Then you visit another congregation and you're going, whoa, there's so much life here. Yeah, Lord, maybe. Yeah, people are smiling at me. That's a sign. I think I should move. Lord, you're telling me. I get that a lot, guys. I get that a lot. Actually, you're not hearing God's voice anymore because you stopped obeying him. And you will move, and it'll be a honeymoon period of a few months, and it'll be the same thing again. It's a warning sign. You can look like you are in everything of church, but without his voice and obedience to it, it will become religion, and it will become death. Christianity is much more than that. It's a living relationship. It was so beautiful in this worship. Mike, well done for how you led that, man. I really felt like all of us were engaging this living relationship of praising him and the Lord blessing us and smiling and praising him again. It was so beautiful. It was this interaction. That's part of what church is, man. Exciting, encouraging, leads to unity and love with a close relationship with a loving Father. Just one or two more points, if that's okay. Also, if you've been hearing God, or you've lived your Christian life thinking, yeah, no, I've heard God and I've lived accordingly, what does the fruit look like? Has the way you've responded to the Lord produced good fruit? Or even what parts of how you responded to him, when you responded to him, did produce good fruit? Because it will produce good lasting fruit. It's good to say, no, I live according to the Lord. Does it produce good fruit? Lasting fruit. There could be an opportunity to mature in this area, to hear him in such a way and obey in such a way that we produce lasting fruit. I don't have time to explain lasting fruit, but I hope that makes sense. Also, you can't expect to hear God if you already made up your mind of what you're going to do or the answer you want. If you decide beforehand what God you want God to tell you. You know, if I like Singapore and I walk out of my house and my host pipe lies in an S, I'm going, that's an S, yes Lord, I'm going to Singapore. That's the confirmation. You will see what you want to see. Would you answer someone their questions if you know they only want one specific answer and they'll ignore you for any other answer? They'll reject everything else. Do you want, when you pray, do you actually mean, Lord, tell me what I want to hear? Or do you say, tell me whatever you want, Lord. I'm surrendered to you. There's a difference. If you decide to, like big decisions, you decide to move congregation, move house, move countries, anything. Don't ask God just to bless it. Lord, I want to move, please bless it. Ask the Lord if you should move. There's a difference. Otherwise, you've chosen already, you're just trying to make it okay now. There's a lot here. I want to see what I want to use or not. You all know now that some people are considering moving to the USA. We even prayed for Robin and Tima, and I believe they have heard the Lord on that. They're doing it in faith. But many people are going, wow, this is an open door. God opened a door for me to go to America. Yay. America is Babylon, guys. You've been there. There's Babylon in Cape Town, but America is Babylon. You might sacrifice your children when you go there to that culture. It will be super hard. It will be super hard to do. Do not make the decision lightly. Just because that one country became available now, do you know there are over 100 countries right now that's already available to you, that's been available to you the whole time? You could have gone there at any time. But now this one other country opens up. Yes, Lord, now you're speaking. Could be, but be very careful. Make the decision seriously. Don't make it lightly. That's often how Satan works. He knows your price for compromise. When it comes to big decisions, make sure it's the Lord. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, it says, in the last days, people will find teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. They will follow their own desires, will look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. You will get your answer if you look for it, if you listen to speak to the right people. Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, not your critic or your opinion piece or your manager or your commentator. Your servant. Do you listen as a servant? Or do you listen like, yeah, okay. Are we telling the Lord what he should bless? Or are we choosing our own things and then just try and get away with it? You know? Christianity is, there is a mighty God. He is Lord. We follow. My sheep hear my voice. A.W. Tozer, he was an American evangelist pastor, a very famous theologian in the early 1900s. He said this, he says, we often treat Jesus the way Saul treated David. We want him to slay our giants and remove evil spirits, but we don't want him to be king. We want his help, but we don't want to surrender to him. How do we pray? So can you truly say this, Lord, I'm surrendered to you. My whole life, I'm willing to be and do whatever you require of me. If you cannot say that and really mean it, it will always be hard to hear the Lord. And he knows. If you can say that, or even if you want to say that, in his grace, by his Spirit, he can get us there. Because he's a loving father and God responds. and he will show you his will for your life. Also, be careful of fleeces. Be careful to say, Lord, I'm going to do this, and if that happens, I know it's you. Deuteronomy 6, it says, do not test the Lord your God. So in other words, Lord, I'm going to phone, we buy cars. If they buy my car, I know it's you. I know I can buy a new car. You laugh. We do that because we want what we want. He will show us. And next time I'll speak more about this, but he'll show us in his written word. He'll show us via leaders in the form of preaching and godly leaders as you speak to them. He'll show us by his Spirit. By his Spirit, straight to you. It might even be a random comment of someone, some event happening. He has many ways to speak to us. But our posture to him is important, or we will not hear him right. We have to have the right posture, not for ourselves, not as a consultant. Lord, give us some advice here. No, you are Lord, whatever you say. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So in ending, how accountable are you about your life? Because telling leaders about your decision is not being accountable. You're just being informative. A lot of people come and say, hey, this is happening, so I'm doing X, Y, Z. Okay? You're not submitting the decision at all. You're not asking. And we can't lord it over you. But we can say what we think the Lord feels in that situation. You can also hear the Lord for yourself. Do you make decisions and then ask leaders to just give a thumbs up? That's just information, guys. So, to end, do we need to shift our hearts in this? If anything rang true for you from any of those scriptures, that we need to change our posture towards him, will you stand? Right now, will you stand? Is anybody? Don't stand to please me, guys. I'll turn around. I'll stand like this. Like the way we pray to him, the way we ask him, that we can change our posture towards him. And what that means, what you're doing now as you're standing is you're repenting because you're saying, Lord, I was doing it this way, or I had this mindset or understanding about this, but I'm changing my direction. I'm changing my way of doing this. And I want to hear you more or hear you right. So I'm changing who I am in that sense. You can repent right now. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Amen. John 5:19, Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. He spoke to his Father all the time and only did what he did. Did what he said. And he came as an example of us, of how we can relate to the Father. Yeah, so if your eyes aren't closed already, let's close our eyes. In our hearts, just even ask the Spirit, Lord, is this me? And then just shift. Just say, Lord, I want to live in a way that I can hear you more and more. Thank you, Jesus.